Guys.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Last night, I want to give the Knicks and Pacers credit. I had very little interest in this series. I'm still a little hurt by what happened to our Cavaliers, but when I saw that the Pacers were beginning to come back in that fourth quarter, I had to. I had to enjoy somebody else's potential demise more than anyone. And then we get the Halliburton moment. We get the choke moment where he mimics Reggie Miller from the 1994 NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
And overall, at the end, you get to see Timothée Chalamet.
I love Chalamet.
I'm out on Chalamet.
Why?
And Ben Stiller sitting next to each other.
Well, I didn't love that. It was a forced celebrity row. Tracy Morgan was there, too. It
just
was forced.
Just pouty as hell. And you get the perfect gift of those looking like the life force had been sucked from them right then and there. So I got to say, I ended up enjoying that a lot more than I thought I would.
I did think about you because you go to bed a little bit earlier some nights, and I was like, I hope you stayed up tonight. Like, I hope tonight was the night that you stayed up, because that was about as good of a basketball game as you're gonna find. I mean, some people calling it today the best NBA playoff game we've seen in our lifetimes.
Wait.
That's how...
Somebody overrating a game involving the New York Knicks in the playoffs? Color me shocked.
Well, but this one went against the Knicks' way. And so I would imagine this is not a play to the New York crowd, them being involved in this. This is for everybody else. This is a gift for everyone else.
There's a part of me. To make it about ourselves, because that's what we do in sports.
Yeah.
Can I just say, it was nice to watch that happen to some team that wasn't my team. It felt uniquely personal that it was like the Cavs were letting those games get away, even though the Pacers had a bunch of comebacks in throughout the rest of the regular season and in the first round of the series. To see it happen one level up, maybe, okay, it wasn't about us.
23 points in the final 3:14 of regulation. They finished out the fourth quarter on a 17-6 run, and it was exactly the same thing we saw in game two, and it was the same thing that the Bucks saw in game five in that Milwaukee series. Like, it was, yes, there was a part of me that as that game was watching, I thought to myself, I've been here, done this, got the t-shirt.
So
I've seen this one, and I know what's coming.
Emma, is it loser mentality? Because we've thrown that around a lot since the Cavs have lost. Is it loser mentality to say that last night made me feel better about what happened in the Pacers series?
Well, so that makes you feel like I would say that means you respect the Pacers a little bit more today.
I don't know if I'll go that far. I'm still very hurt. But I will say,
because that's the way you get there, right? Is it suggesting that this Pacers team is a much better team than you thought they were, and they can actually win with this style of play? I would argue it's more the idea that the Knicks just aren't a very good team. They're a fine team.
I don't think there's a great team left in the playoffs. Like, I don't think we're in the era of great teams. I think we're in the era, instead of two or three truly great teams, historic teams, I think we're in the era of like 8 to 10 just really good teams. And by the way, that's fine. That's how this probably should be. I think that's going to long term, that kind of parity, I think, is great for fans because it gives you more hope than we had in the decade of, oh, I think this is the Lakers three-peat, or is this the Bulls three-peat, or is this the Celtics, or this team, or that team, or this other team. So, but you know what? I will say, I have to do it because you prodded me on it. Yes, I respect the Pacers. You don't do what you did last night on the road in Madison Square Garden. without being a team that is better than we expected when that series began.
Which, if you believe that, then maybe it does make the five-game set feel a little bit better for yourself. You can swallow that one a little bit better. I still can't. I don't know that many people will be able to, but if you think the Pacers are that much better of a team, maybe it does help you digest that.
So I guess I've put it all on the Cavs for blowing that series. Maybe I can still put it on the Cavs for blowing that series and then give the Pacers credit for taking that series.
I felt like I was listening to deja vu is what I felt like, because I listened into our buddies in New York at the Fan there and their morning show, and Boomer was like, we are a much better team. Speaking we for the Knicks, we are a much better team than the Pacers. And I'm like, oh, I've been there. We did that. We did that in that series. We watched a Pacers team do the exact same thing to us. And what was our thought leaving that game? We're still a much better team. Like we've been there, done that.
Can I say it? It feels like a hot take. It also feels like a little bit of loser mentality. I'm going to say it.
Go ahead and say it. Say it with your chest.
Say it with conviction. Knicks game one was a worse loss than Cavs game two. The Knicks are healthy.
Yeah, okay.
The Knicks are healthy. The Knicks.
Well, and the lead was greater too. In the Bucks series, it was 39 seconds down 7. In our series, it was 47 seconds down 7. And in the Knicks, you were down 8 with 41 seconds left.
So I just, watching that, it took a little of the sting away from game two. It still hurts. It's still an open sore, because I still think the Cavs can't just get away with the Pacers are really good. You have to look at how you gave that series away. And it's not that maybe in the end, the Pacers were just the team of destiny this year, and they just are healthy. They play a specific style of ball that's really hard to beat, yada, 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 and so on and so forth. However, to dial it back, the Cavs have to understand that should have been a 6 or 7 game series. That shouldn't have been a 5 game series. And there were so many things the Cavs did. And it wasn't game two. That's what pissed me off so much when Kobe Altman earlier this week was like, game two changed the series. It's like, what about the two blowouts? Well, actually, what about three blowouts in 5 games? Because that, to me, speaks more to the Cavs side of things than it does the Pacers.
Right, but the Pacers, what I feel like their secret weapon almost is that it's like you wake up a sleeping giant at points, and then they turn into this just otherworld team. Final 5 minutes of the game, they shot 75% from the field. It's not like the Knicks collapsed, Nick. The Knicks didn't collapse. Knicks still made a bunch of shots in the final 3 minutes of the game. They made 3 different field goals, went to the line twice, and was relatively productive. It's just when you wake up the sleeping giant, and it all just happens so fast. If I can say anything, it's almost like they out-cavalanche any sort of team. Like they have their version of the cavalanche, and it seems like it might be bigger and better.
216-474-0092. I think the Knicks lost last night. I think it erases a lot of the memory of the game two loss by the Cavaliers, just because of,
the same way the game two won against the Cavs Pacers game erased what happened in game five with Milwaukee.
Okay, yeah.
You know, it's a further round, and so it's become more important. And then obviously the series matters more. And so in the big picture of things, people are going to forget game two against the Cavs in a way because of what just happened last night.
All this being said, Halliburton went to the choke callback too soon. Well, you don't do that in game one.
Yeah, it's a good point. I texted a buddy last night. I want to just read you the text because it was how I was feeling in the moment as this was going on. I don't have Diddy's phone number.
Was it Jay-Z?
Don't have his number either.
Was it Paul Wall?
Not Paul Wall, although I do respect Paul Wall. When I lived in Houston, people love Paul Wall. You don't mess with Paul Wall.
He brought us What It Do.
A lot of joy with Paul Wall. I'm going to need the Pacers to win now. Too much secondhand embarrassment for Halliburton if they didn't win after the choke, or if they don't win after the choke message. That's what I sent right as they went in overtime. Like, and you could feel it, too. And the Knicks got off an early start in OT, and you're like, oh, no. They're going to blow this thing. I was actively rooting for Halliburton and for the Pacers because it was too much secondhand embarrassment if they didn't win that game.
So for me, it was, and I think Callahan, if anybody listened to Callahan's post-game thoughts, he was like, yeah, it's one game. Very exciting, but I think he knows, like, that was a huge victory lap for a game one win, no matter how you cut it.
So Hallie walked it back, too. He was like, man, I really needed to win that in overtime because if not, that would have been awful that wasn't a three-pointer.
So I don't think that has to be a loss that sends the Knicks back, sends the Knicks to Indiana down 0-2, but it can be, much like we saw with the Cavs. Like, now with the Cavs, it was game two into a must win in game three because every game is a must win in the playoffs. But I'm now watching that series. I thought the Knicks were going to win. I thought it was going to be a close series, but I have very little interest in watching those. Like, I think Knicks fans are more unlikable than the Pacers players are, and that's just somebody who just watched the Pacers players curb stomp our Cavaliers for five games. Now the fact that Knicks fans, who, again, I just think are awful. Like, I just don't think there are a lot of good people in Knicks fans. Whether it's the trash thing or the violence outside the like, I just don't have any interest in that crap.
You mean like the trash in the street? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, no, remember when they were the Pacers fan? I can't remember the guy's name, but they were throwing a bag of trash at him on the street.
I thought you were just against the idea that they leave trash out in the street, because I'm also against that.
Well, I mean, I'm against it, but not so much that I root for your fans to lose.
Might be enough for me.
But no, I mean,
put them in some dumpsters.
Knicks fans have bypassed that grace period where you're like, man, I want it for them. And they've already acted like they've won the championship because they're good again. And they've never been this good for this long, for a very long time. So I'm all the way out on them.
Here's what I want to see. Last night, Nick, you watched, and at certain points the Knicks were able to get away with it, but they turned it into the track meet that the Pacers want them to turn it into. Same way the Cavs did that as well. I feel like the biggest problem with the Cavs in that five-game series is they let the Pacers dictate exactly what the Pacers wanted to do, and they turned it into this whoever scores 141st wins type game, which is what the Pacers have done with everyone. They did the same thing last night. Knicks fell victim to it, and now I want to see if they do the opposite of what the Cavs weren't able to do, which is adjust and actually figure it out.
We got quick hits coming up in about 25 minutes here at 2:40. We got Matt Underwood at 3:20 today. Guardians TV play-by-play man. Oh, yeah, the lead coming up at 5. Trade me! Coming up at 6, send in your trades to at Nick Wilson Says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Send in your trade machine screen grabs of how you want the Cavs to get better. It can be a good trade. Darius Garland for Tyler Herro and Jaime Jaquez. It can be a bad trade. Darius Garland for Jordan Poole, a.k.a. the pool party. Send him in. We'll go over him.
Who hates a pool party? No one hates a pool party.
The pool is empty, so you're really just jumping into concrete. That's where that one is.
That's not a party, then. That's not a party.
Well, for some people it is. You had enough Molly there. But 216-474-0092. Does last night... erase the Cavs.
Everything was just add Molly to it.
I believe so.
And then we got ourselves a party.
Yeah. I'm not suggesting, we're in a
cornfield in Iowa, but add Molly to it, and we got a party.
You just described young kids in Iowa, I think.
I know.
Did last night, Knicks lost to the Pacers, did that erase, or maybe was that a worse loss than the Cavs game 2 loss to the Pacers? And development... Cavs old and young, as spoken by a Cavs legend. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. If you guys haven't listened to Channing Frye's convo with the Morning Boys, really, really good stuff. Channing, and I just to throw this out to start before we even get into the point he made about Jared Allen there. Man, I got to tell you, I have no idea how that guy isn't a big part of somebody's coverage, especially considering his chemistry with Richard Jefferson. Like, ESPN's had Richard Jefferson locked down. I don't know how they haven't turned Channing and Richard into their iteration of the NBA on TV, because they've had them both for a while.
Yeah. No, he was Channing. He was great. But maybe the part of the problem is the idea that in speaking about why some of the coverage of the game isn't great, he was like, yeah, you know, the people on TV that don't know basketball. Maybe he's done a little bit too much of that, maybe.
Well, I mean, there's no difference than what, like, Barkley goes out of his way to say things about Kendrick Perkins, like once a show at least.
Which is why, even as talented as Barkley and inside the NBA is, everyone's like, wait, they're going to ESPN?
I'm ready for it.
Like, there's a set of rules that, the Booyah Network plays by. That you can tell Barkley doesn't play by. Yeah. Channing Frye clearly doesn't play by.
Yeah.
If anything, Channing Frye should go on like Fox Sports 1 or something like that.
Why not like a better broadcasting network, though?
Well, again, ESPN makes you play by certain rules. It seems like he doesn't want to cover inside the lines.
I just wanted to take a shot at Fox Sports 1.
You know, I love Fox Sports 1.
You know, yeah, I was jamming you up a little bit here to start the show.
Like, I don't know why I'm the only person in the world that loves that network, but I love that network.
So with that being said, though, getting back to his central point here, I mean, he's essentially saying the Cavs can teach Jared Allen to be tougher. And so there are he kind of pointed out the physical side of this. In the same breath, though, Channing also said it's not physical with him, it's mental. I don't know how you teach him to be mentally tough. I think that's like where I'm struggling with just the Cavs in general. I think Donovan Mitchell is mentally tough. Nerds!
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
I actually do think Darius is mentally tough. I just think he's physically not tough. I think the Cavs have a few guys who have some toughness to them and some grit. Strus, tough as nails in the playoffs with some of the stuff that he was doing. I don't know how you teach a guy. I think you can teach a guy physical toughness. So I think yes on that. If Jared's biggest issue is he's just not mentally tough, like playoff tough mentally. Like, how do you do that?
Well, it's hard too because we can quantify when someone's physically tough and when they get physically tougher. How do we quantify if someone's mentally tougher?
Yeah. Well, I think you can turn it on, right? Like if you watch Anthony Edwards, there's no doubt that that dude, as the kids would say, has the dog in him, right? Like there are just certain guys that you watch play, and certain guys don't have a choice. Like Draymond, without the mental toughness, is not on the court. Ben Wallace, without mental toughness, is not on the court. Jared, I think, has almost been afforded because he's 7'1" and, you know, naturally a long, lanky guy. I don't think he's had to earn it the same way that other guys who maybe are undersized bigs have to in the NBA.
I'm trying to think of this like if you were a trust fund kid, can you all of a sudden have the mentality to be someone that gets your hands dirty and gets down and works a million hours and does everything? There are some kids that come from money that are that way, but there are also some kids that aren't and are never going to be that way.
Well, and I think like I've read a few sociology papers that it's just like the curse of eternal riches and how like by the third generation, your returns on like guys with a backbone or guys who know how to do anything, it's nil because it's over three or four generations, you just don't know how to... Honestly, like live and fend for yourself. I think the same thing in the NBA.
If you had hundreds of millions of dollars and you had your son and you looked at your son and you're like, man, the man orders, he has the butler get him food. He does no work. He does anything. What would your solution be to try to get him to actually turn that around? For myself and what I'm thinking, I'd surround him with people that have a work ethic. I'd surround him with people that have that mentality.
Like union guys?
Maybe. I feel like, I don't know. Do I drop him off in not bad parts of the city, but drop him off with
a roofing crew.
I make him take like a summer apprentice with some trade workers or something.
This is Vinny. I want you to go swim with the sharks for a couple weeks and then report back to me.
Think about how that work. Eventually, at some point, something would have to click, right? Like, is that what you have to do with Jared? I'm trying to figure it out. Can you just by having tougher mentality guys around you, can you then in turn become tougher? And is that maybe part of the problem? Is that you're surrounded by a bunch of guys that aren't tougher mentality, and so you're just kind of, it's just a never ending cycle of, oh, we're a trust fund kid and we hang out with other trust fund kids and we're not getting any better here.
Yeah, I think so. This is where the culture of nice starts to worry you a little bit. I think Donovan fit in with the culture of nice because he's a legitimately good dude and a legitimately nice guy.
Like, they prioritize this was on them in many ways,
and I think Donovan could fit in a crowd of tough asses. Because I think Donovan has that element to him. I think Darius can. Because
Donovan's a chameleon of sorts, I feel like.
I think that's fair. I mean, I think he's fit into a lot of different style of locker rooms going back from when he first got to Utah to what that evolved to. And then coming here, I think it was completely different. But I just, I agree with Kobe Altman's central thesis from earlier this week where we can get better on the margins. But that's not universal. And I think Jared's on the margins. Do you bring him in somebody to shadow box with him? Do you bring Tyson? Just have him hang out with Mike Tyson in Vegas summer and see where the day goes.
They've clearly put a priority though, and they've seeked out the nicer guys. In the moment that Kevin Porter Jr. started to go a little awry. I'm not saying they were wrong for getting rid of Kevin Porter Jr., but anytime they've had a guy like that, they've been like, all right, we're not dealing with this. We're done with this.
Well, I mean, in fairness, Kevin.
It's completely fair. Kevin, I'm not saying it's not fair. It's completely fair.
Kevin was, that was a different situation. The bigger stop sign was, hey, Marcus Morris said things these guys didn't like, so we're not going to re-sign Marcus.
It feels like at every turn that you get somebody that has a little bit of edge to them, a little toughness to them, and then they find that out or it gets exposed for some reason, they send that person packing. And you can tell in the people that he's brought in, they've made an effort to bring in nicer people.
So this is why, I think this kind of leads to another point that Channing Frye made on with the Morning Boys. And he was talking about how, you know, in terms of intensity, you need somebody to go along with Evan Mobley on the defensive side of the things, kind of similar to the way maybe Donovan has an intensity on the offensive side.
I will put it this way. I'm looking around to see if I can get a defensive leader. I don't have that. Like, Evan Mobley is that, but I need somebody in the backcourt who is that, not the front court. So Evan Mobley is obviously defensive player of the year, is a ridiculous defensive talent. In the playoffs, you're going to need to wait for him to get stronger and to be healthy, and you can rely on him, but you also need somebody that is like, this is my job. OKC has three guys that literally their job is to make life miserable for opposing teams. When you can put somebody like Alex Caruso, who comes off the bench, or Hartenstein on Jokic, and obviously, they're not necessarily going to stop him, but they make life miserable for him. It allows you to create opportunities, turnovers. So for me, they need a defensive juggernaut to really anchor this team next to Evan Mobley on that backcourt.
All right, I'm going to rip the Band-Aid off. Why can't that be Isaac Okoro?
Well, it's supposed to be. I mean, I think initially we all had the aspirations that would be Isaac Okoro. It hasn't developed into that at all.
Well, I have my criticisms of Isaac, namely that he thinks he's kind of like the defensive Deion Waiters. Like, there's a delusion to Isaac and who he thinks he is on the offensive side of the ball that is wildly apparent. Anytime he gets an open three and he's like, yes, this is the time or place for me to shoot this. But I guess my thing is, like, I look at this is not the bleeper or get off the pot moment with Evan Mobley. I don't know, it has to be the bleeper get off the pot moment with Jared Allen. But considering Isaac has one more year left on this deal, if we're talking about teaching toughness to a guy that I don't know Jared has the kind of mental toughness, the mental acuity you need for the playoffs. That's it. I don't know, because I don't know Jared. I just never seen it consistently on the court. Even if I saw it for four games against Orlando 2 years ago, I don't know where that went the last 15 playoff games, but it's gone.
Maybe the injury played into that.
But like specific to Isaac, like I know he has the defensive mental acuity.
It's supposed to be the best part about Isaac
and,
Poro, yeah.
Like we didn't see that bulldog come out when he was on the court, and I wonder why, because I will say everyone, I'm talking about in the Pacers series, when they got everybody ready for this the playoffs. They got Ty Jerome ready for the playoffs, as evident in game one, or the first round series. They got everybody ready as possible as you could. You saw Darius ball out in that first series. Donovan, the only guy that you can say never truly showed up to the playoffs was Isaac. He had about 14 minutes per game. I think he was four points per game.
Because I remember talking about this. Remember it was game four against Miami? I remember telling you I thought it was odd that Atkinson just didn't even play Okoro. It wasn't even just the first half of the game. It was about midway through the third quarter, and that game was an absolute blowout. And there was no need for any of the starters to even be out there at that point. And he just wasn't putting Okoro out there. And I told you, I was watching that game with my father-in-law. He's like, where's Okoro?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. I don't know why Atkinson isn't doing that. I would wonder if maybe Atkinson just fell out of belief or trust with Okoro, and that's where that all stems from.
I also think this is maybe they put all their eggs in the offensive basket. And there were points in the regular season where I said, Ty, we don't care if you play defense. We don't care if Sam Merrill plays defense. Like, Dean Wade has to play defense because he's more of a big wing, but like, to a lot of the guys, defense was secondhand. And so I think because Isaac's is a defense-first guy, and that is his true value, I just don't think they valued him this year. And I think like that to me is where, like, if you're not going to give that kid a chance, you can't tell me that kid couldn't be Nesmith. You can't tell me that kid can't be a 24-minute-a-night off-the-bench guy who his job, you just go to him and say, you're my bulldog. Yeah, I'm going to put
just
on...
Be pesky.
I'm going to put you on everybody that's 6'6 and below in the NBA. And if they score 20 easy points, you're not in the game tomorrow. Right? Now, if they score 20 points the hard way, well, then you've done your job. It's not about points scored, but it's about how it looks. The more we've come away, and again, if it's okay if the answer is we don't think he can be that. Or, you know, we've done what we can with him. We think he's got to go somewhere else. But I think that's the... You got to make a decision on Jarrett. That's fair. You probably need to make a decision with Darius in the near future. But if Isaac is here next year, you can't tell me that guy who at points has been by far your best on-ball defender.
Well, I mean, think about what happened. I mean, I thought Atkinson sent a sign. Game two, remember, you still had the issue with Darius, and Okoro got thrusted into basically starter minutes. He played almost 30 minutes. Before the game, you said you'd drive off the road if he got nearly 30 minutes in that game. He ended up getting close to 30 minutes. And then you fouled it up in game three, and I think he played 3 or 4 minutes in that game. He barely saw the floor, and I wonder if that's just a response to how that matchup was with the Pacers, how he didn't look good defensively against them, because they still got what they wanted, and they scored when they were able to. And I think there had to have been something there with Atkinson, because we don't ask enough Isaac Okoro questions that obviously just lived there.
216-474-0092. Channing Frye says you can teach toughness to Jarrett Allen, and that the Cavs need a defensive juggernaut, somebody that can match what Mobley does, but out in the backcourt. Is it you know what, or get off the pot time with Isaac Okoro? Grant's got a thought on Jarrett Allen. We'll hear from him next, and quick hits in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angel, Angel,
to the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry, hurry,
it's Quick Hits.
For once, we've got a station Donnybrook, JP, involving the Modern Boys that doesn't involve us. Going back to the Travis Bezzana injury earlier this week, Ken disagreed with Jeff and Andy's video on the subject of the Guardians now not feeling the pressure to start Bezzana's clock this year. Andy Baskin didn't like what Ken said and then responded on yesterday's show.
Here's what I'm going to say. Ken, before you want to rip someone, make sure you know what you're listening to. And if somebody hands you something that you should know on the air, bud, you should probably know what you're talking about, because I didn't say that.
I did.
Jeff said that. So let's try to get facts straight. Don't let them get in the way of trying to entertain. Ken, you were 1,000% wrong, and then you had the opportunity to apologize, and you didn't. So I'll leave it at that, and I'll let you go back and do your little show tomorrow morning, and you can play this clip, and you can play it to your heart's desire, but an apology probably would be on the table, and having someone do your preparation for you.
No!
Rumors.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
And telling you what you think is or isn't, probably not a good move. Thanks.
All right. So Ken today and Anthony in the 8 o'clock segment responded. They played that and responded. Ken was trying to take the high road, and I think eventually there's a couple things in there that bugged him, and so they got a few feisty shots in. Do we have to declare a side in this morning boys versus midday boys beef?
No, we don't have to do anything. That's the fun thing. We can just stay out and let them battle it out.
I'm kind of enjoying it.
You want to declare a side, don't you?
No, I don't. Well, okay, if we had to, Jeff and Andy have always been incredibly kind to us.
Yeah.
But yet, I kind of think like Baskin took a couple shots where like when you start questioning somebody's prep or you're, you know, it gets a little, you're starting to get into areas where it's okay to have an ego about it and upset and maybe return fire the way Ken did this morning. I'm like, I think I can see both sides. Ooh, I finally got to say that of a station fight that didn't involve me. I can see both sides. I don't really want to pick a side. If I had to, I'd have to. I'm a loyal guy.
You were
going
to try to make me pick a side, and you don't want to pick a side?
I asked you if you wanted to pick a side. I wasn't trying to trick you into picking a side.
You were trying to get me to pick a side.
How dare you?
You know me, and you know how I play, and typically I'd pick a side in that moment.
Because if you picked a side, then I'm your partner. I will back you up. I just am enjoying being Switzerland in this one instance.
Here's what I will say on it, though.
Okay?
You picked a fight with the middays.
Mm-hmm.
You've picked a fight with us. When you remember, everyone remembers, oh, I know more football than Jonathan. Okay. All right. Fine. You picked a fight with us.
Uh-huh.
And you picked a fight with Jake at night.
Uh-huh.
How many fights do we have with other shows? We've never picked a fight with Baskin and Phelps. We've never picked a fight with Jake Volnick. It's only been the Morning Boys. But you notice how the Morning Boys have now picked fights with everyone on this station. But no, they're the ones that are always being attacked. They're the ones that are always. How does this happen to us? Okay. All right. Oh, you know, sometimes if the people are always coming at you, just, you know, understand maybe you might be the problem in this instance.
I was just glad to hear Ken just tell everybody today that he has no self-esteem and that he only thinks of others. I just was like, thank you. Finally, somebody said needed to be said.
Yeah, he has picked fights with every show in the station.
That Ken Carman is an egoless human being. God bless him. It's tough. It's tough, Ken. You keep fighting the fight with that lack of ego.
Advertise like you stay out of the mud, yet you're in the mud with everybody.
Me?
No. I'm talking about him.
Ken. Oh. Because I totally am in the mud with everybody because I just like to mix it up.
At least we're out fun about it. At least we're like, all right, let's get in and do this. We're not going to try to run and hide from that side of things.
I just think...
But we really have, we've never picked a fight with Baskin and Phelps. We've never picked a fight with Jake.
I just can't imagine how hard it's got to be egoless in this environment, you know? I mean, Mother Teresa couldn't do sports talk in Cleveland. And so I know Ken...
You are the one that upon your death 5 minutes ago said the whole show has to be about you when you die.
Yes. Yeah. No, I don't run from my ego. It's right there.
Okay. Jim Irsay. Yeah, I'm going to make that the transition.
May he rest in peace.
Jim Irsay. The sports world lost one of the... I don't know how you describe him. How would you describe Jim Irsay for people? Because it's not like we know him...
Renegade. That's a great word.
It's not like we know him intimately. We've known him for more of his shortcomings than any of his celebrated things that have happened over the past 24 hours.
But stood up to Dan Snyder.
He's always been charitable. He's had some... It's hard. It's hard for me. He's a character, and I like characters.
So I think anytime somebody rushes to pass, I think in the social media era, we instantly have to declare them as a good person or a bad person. And the reality is, Jim Irsay had some problematic things in his past, his issues with substance abuse. And as soon as like 2 years ago, some of the comments that he's made that maybe didn't age well. And he's also been incredibly philanthropic. He's been committed to keeping Indianapolis, having the Colts. He seems to be a man that took his shortcomings and his struggles with mental health and substance abuse and tried to do something with that and create awareness around that. So I hate the word problematic because it has such a loaded connotation anymore. Jim played on every side of every street and he was an imperfect guy. But when somebody can recognize their shortcomings and try to use that to inform other people and create awareness about mental health and substance issues, even if in the end they don't win their personal battle, I think that is incredibly in an era where every single thing about every one of us gets judged on any day. If you're just a little bit public, it is incredibly brave to live your faults or your shortcomings or your struggles in the public eye. And so, again, not a perfect human being. There are some problematic things there, but it takes a lot of bravery to do that, even if he's also the guy that said he felt like he was preyed upon because he's a rich billionaire.
Problematic, but
you did live some truth there that I think is important. Felt good.
That was good.
Felt really good.
Yeah, that was good. Much better than what I was trying to do. I suck at that stuff.
Well, a supporting actor has left the upcoming Nicolas Cage, Christian Bale lead Madden movie over a full frontal locker room nudity scene, amongst other things. Word is that Nicolas Cage and Christian Bale's method performance is driving everyone on set crazy, too. Is Madden bound to be a bad movie, or will this propel it to greatness?
Well, if they're actually turning into Madden and Davis, then yeah, we might have a problem on our hands.
So I think the rule of method acting is there because there's
don't go Jim Carrey, Andy Kaufman.
Okay, no, you can't have two guys doing that. You can have multiple method actors on set at the same time. Okay. Only one guy gets to be Pacino. Somebody's got to be like, maybe I'll be the more reserved Robert Duvall. I don't know. I'm trying to think of other method actors. Like, it's a wonder that De Niro and Pacino, both method actors, survived any of the shoots that they've had. They don't even come with the explosive anger that we've heard from Christian Bale and Nicolas Cage before. I want to see every frame of this movie. And, oh, by the way, David O. Russell, who is like the most problematic guy.
I'm worried it's going to let you down, but I love the commitment to it all.
I want it to be crazy.
Is he going to start driving? Is he like driving a Madden Cruiser across the country? Is that like he goes spot A to spot B with the Madden Cruiser? Yeah. How deep are we getting into this?
I think this is a great point. How can you be method with John Madden and it be a bad thing? I just walk around, eat a turducken, and I'm really, really happy and loving. Like, how can you go? There's no dark side to John Madden. Now, Al Davis
is a lot wrong.
Christian Bale could be a real problem here. But again, if you go method with John Madden and you're upsetting people, I don't love that, Nick Cage. And we're here for the Nick Cage glow up. We're team Nick Cage. He's also egoless. When we come back, The Browns reportedly in the fray for a big name that might change how you and I think about the direction of this organization. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Nerds.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices.
Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.